أحمدك اللهم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأشهد أن محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger and the prophet, and we ask Allah to shed His peace and the prayers upon the prophet and his household and his companions and his followers to the day of judgment. My dear brethren, at the time of Caliph Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, a Muslim army was sent under the leadership of Amr ibn al-As to Egypt. At the time, Egypt was Christian, but it was also under the rule of the Roman Empire, which was also Christian. And yet, the people of Egypt helped the Muslim army against their Roman occupiers, because their fellow Roman Christians wanted to compel them to follow their sect. And the people knew that Islam respects religious freedom, and that under the Muslims there will be freer to worship and to choose the faith they want to choose. But history reports a dialogue that happened in the palace of the governor of Egypt at the time. The dialogue was between his daughter and her maid by the name of Armanosa. And in obvious distress, the daughter said, "Oh Armanosa, I am worried. I am so concerned. I am frightened about those Bedouins who are coming from Arabia, those savage people who have never seen civilization. When they come and conquer us, and maybe conquer this palace, and maybe capture you and me, what are they going to do to us?" Armanosa replied, "No, my lady, have no fears and no worries. These are people who are ruled by a perfect religion that causes them to be men of perfect integrity. Never do they raise the sword but with a law, and never do they put down the sword but with a law. And the one of us should have no worries, because each one of those carries his mosque in his heart when he travels. And believe me, you and I would be safer under one of those people than she is under her own father." That was the reputation of Muslims, and that was the high regard people kept Muslims in, and the confidence they have in them. And yet I turn the page until we come to the present day. Whatever happened to that good reputation? whatever happened to that confidence. And I do not only mean that the enemies of Islam depict Muslims as bloodthirsty, sex-thirsty people who craze and crave for women and are just butchers. This is not my worry. But I am worried when Muslims behave in such a way that sends the message that yes, we Muslims are the butchers, we Muslims are the wolves. I've been visiting so many Muslim gatherings in the United States, and I can claim that my fingers can feel the pulse of the Muslim Ummah in America. I've been to so many places whose message is Muslims are the wolves. Women cannot be safe in the presence of Muslim men. Muslim men cannot be entrusted in the presence of women because they succumb to the fitna. And so many Islamic centers are still debating whether a curtain is enough or does it have to be a built wall between men and women, or do women have to be in another room altogether, not to see and not to be seen. An Islamic center in the East Coast imported a sheikh, a mullah, from the Middle East to teach the children. Lesson number one: my child, if a woman is seated on a chair and she moves, do not go and sit immediately. Wait until it cools, because the transmission of the heat of her body to your body is haram. And this is how Islam is presented to 10-year-olds and 8-year-olds. In some Islamic centers, women are taboo. I visited a center that was proposing to have a children's school. And some ladies came to me. There was three of them, and they said, we are teachers. We are school teachers. And the men wouldn't allow us to attend the meetings planning the school. And some of the bosses at the center said, if women come, I'm not attending. As if women were the dirt. As if women don't have brains. As if even a woman teacher cannot give advice upon schooling, and only the men can. And I told them, you have to send to them immediately. If we are not sharing in the planning for the school, then we are not sending our children to it. In one of the universities, young people in America, the Islamic group would hold a meeting to read the Quran. But women, no reading, because the voice of the woman is aura. Just imagine that happening, giving me the burning and the aching about the future of the Muslim movement in America, if this is the mentality that runs it. I'm not that liberal. I was raised up as what you call conservative, and I was tutored by one of the most significant Islamic reformers in the century, if not the most significant. And I don't think I am Americanized, or I am easy about my Islam. And yet, I'm not inclined to the other extreme. And if one extreme overtly violates Islam in their behavior, then to be extremist to the other side is also a violation of Islam, which is the right between two wrongs, the religion of the middle way. Indeed, the standard should be the Islam that was taught, by Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, where women attended the mosque of the Prophet and sat in the same hall as the men. And that is why the Prophet said, the best of the women's lines are the backmost, and the best of the women's rows are the foremost, which denotes that they prayed in the same mosque, in the same hall. But obviously, and for obvious aesthetic reasons, because we do ruku'ah and the sujood in our prayer, it is a matter of ethics that women should be behind, so that no man behind them might watch them. The history reports that Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam would be receiving questions after he lectured in the mosque of Medina, and amongst the questioners would be women. History reports to us that so many times the Prophet would be walking in the street, and an old woman or a maid would go and catch, grasp his hand and pull him to wherever she wanted to lead him, and never did he retract his hand from hers. So this was the behavior of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. When Umar ibn al-Khattab was making a speech in the mosque against expensive dowries, who stood up and told him, "You are wrong, Umar"? It was a woman. She said, "You are not in a position to say that, because the Quran says that." And his immediate response, "The woman is right and I am wrong." He didn't tell her, "Your voice is aura." How come the voice would be aura if the Prophet said, "Learn half of your religion from my wife Aisha"? Musayba bin Tikab in the Battle of Uhud, who went as a lady healer, a nurse, and when the battle became critical, took sword and shield and engaged in active combat. Did anyone at the end of the battle rebuke her? The Prophet praised her and said, "Never did I look right or left, but there was she defending me and fighting before me." Imam Shafi'i would declare, "I have the honor to be the student of Sayyida Nafisa." One day a man went to the Prophet at the mosque in Medina and said, "Messenger of Allah, I am your guest." And the Prophet went into his quarters, asked his wives if he had any food, and all of them replied, "No, no food." And so the Prophet came out and looked at the Muslims and said, "Who would like to be the host of the guest of Rasulullah?" Upon which a man immediately jumped and said, "Ana ya Rasulullah, me." And the man went to his wife, "We have the guest of Rasulullah. Do you have any food?" And she said, "Merely the food of the children." Then he told her, "Sing for them and lure her, them into sleep. And when the guest comes, bring that little amount of food and put off the lamp so that it becomes dark. And you and I will be pretending to eat, but not eating, so that the food would be given to the guest." A Muslim family eating with the guest in the dark. No rules. If a woman should be safe in a gathering, it is the Muslim gathering. Then why are so some Muslims so sex obsessed and allergic and nervous about women? The day Islam came, it declared man and woman to be equal. When Islam came, it gave women historical rights. including the right of independent ownership that some states today in the United States do not know yet. And the lady would go to the bank to buy or sell, and they would ask her to get her husband's signature. Unfortunately, the golden days of Islam were not long, and the people tended to revert back. And you'll find some people that now oppress one another and oppress women. So that the ruler oppresses the nation, the minister would oppress the directors, they would oppress their employees, the man would oppress his wife, the elder child would oppress the younger child. It is a chain reaction of oppression. And the Muslims should be aware to put things right. Not everything that you saw back home before you came here is Islamically correct. And it is your duty to seek for Islam, not for social custom, not for culture, but read about Islam, read about the Prophet, read about the reality of Islam, and then you will be able to put things straight and to correct the balance so that it is not leaning towards one side. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten the basira of the Muslims and guide them to the real Islam and strengthen the relations between Muslims and Muslim families and the husbands and wives, so that the relation would be not a cultural one, not a secular one, but an Islamic relation. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه إلى يوم الدين. My dear brethren, there are a billion Muslims in the world, but somehow I feel we are a minority, because the active element in us, those who know real Islam and comprehend it thoroughly and live it and act it, are only the minority of Muslims. And we will not, as an ummah, have the victory promised by Allah until we prove that yes, we are the real thing. We are the gold, not just gold plated. We are the people who submit to Allah more than culture and habit and wrong teaching about Islam. And I ask Allah to enable us to be that, and to be the real followers of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين. اللهم املأ قلوبنا بمحبتك واجمعنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك والحب فيك، وأحينا وأمتنا وابعثنا على لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله، وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.